present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Barry Cryer, and Elaine Stritch in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And this week we have two of our regulars, Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud. We welcome back a guest who has appeared a number of times on the show, Barry Cryer. But we're also delighted to welcome a guest who has not played before. She's had the courage to come and pit her wits and her talent against these three intrepid players of the game. It's that lovely actress, Elaine Stritch. And as usual, I'm going to ask them in turn if they can speak on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Barry, the subject is kangaroo pie. Would you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
Kangaroo pie is an Antipodean delicacy, particularly favored in the outback. First, you catch your kangaroo, saving Clement's presence, which I am doing for Christmas. The creature should then be placed in a large bucket, immersed in a judicious mixture of Australian...
Kenneth Williams is challenged.
Deviation, you couldn't possibly get a kangaroo into a bucket. Rubbish in the mud. Absolute rubbish.
He said
the creature should be placed in the... How can you play the creature?
Actually, especially if you try to do it before killing it. Which he hasn't killed his kangaroo, yet it's still alive.
Still shouting malfeasance.
So, Kenneth, I agree with your challenge. There are 41 seconds for kangaroo pie with you, starting now.
Yes, will you get this? Any importer will supply it to you. Somebody's making an awful lot of rustling noises out there. Please shut up.
Barry Cryer.
Deviation, rustling.
Rustling noise has got nothing to do with kangaroo pie. So, Barry, you have 34 seconds on kangaroo pie, starting now. Clement Freud's challenge. Yeah.
Hesitation.
Yes. Here. Clement, you have 33 seconds on kangaroo pie, starting now.
Putting a knife...
Barry Cryer.
Repetition of hesitation.
Considering he hasn't started yet, he couldn't. It's a mad game, isn't it, Elaine?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Clement, you have 32 seconds on kangaroo pie, starting now.
Putting a live kangaroo into a large bucket is probably the most humane way of making kangaroo pie, otherwise produced by... catching the beast, skinning it, taking off the bones, cutting the meat into small squares and marinating them, usually overnight, in a judicious mixture of malfeasance, oil, lemon, vinegar, and monosodium glutamate.
Deviation, malfeasance can't be part of a recipe.
My mother said it could.
A judicious mixture of malfeasance. I mean, it's rubbish.
Yes, my mother used to make malfeasance
pudding. These people have come a long way. They want to see something decent. They would not sit there and have their intelligence insulted with a recipe consisting of malfeasance.
I agree, you can't, but...
We'd wait for Saturday night for malfeasance pudding. That's what my mother used to make. That was the treat.
Right.
You've got malfeasance on the brain, you have.
There are 8 seconds for you to take over the subject of kangaroo pie, Kenneth, starting now.
This would be made most deliciously, of course, by none other than Elaine Stritch. Because...
Clement Freud is challenged.
I don't accept that.
You don't accept it.
Elaine Stritch is a conservationist of a high order and wouldn't kill kangaroos to make pie.
But she might make a pie if someone else killed the kangaroo. We don't know. Would you?
Well, I don't know what to do in this game, honestly. I've never been so terrified in my whole life. They taught me how to play the game, or thought they did. Now I have to say whether I would be in a kangaroo pie or have anything to do with making... No, I would not, if that's going to clear this game up.
It's not. I don't think anything will ever clear this game up.
Well, it has nothing to do with loving animals. I don't want to eat a kangaroo.
Elaine,
I'd much rather see Barnum. I mean, this is ridiculous. When is it my turn?
We give Elaine a bonus point for her contribution to the show. And another point for having let me off the hook on my next decision, which is that Clement Freud was correct And who challenged who? Such a long time ago. Oh, yes, you said...
I challenged him.
That's right. So you'll go on for another second, Clement, on kangaroo pie starting now.
You can get it in tins in Melbourne.
So at the end of that round, Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, and he's gained the extra point. He's gone one ahead of Barry Cryer. He's two ahead of Kenneth Williams, who's equal with Elaine Stritch, who hasn't scored any points, which he's been given to by the chairman. And sorry, Elaine, it's not your turn to speak yet, but... yes, Clement goes next.
All right.
So, but Clement,
I just feel a little inhibited about interrupting somebody before I've made it.
I wouldn't be. The rest of them are not inhibited. The audience aren't even inhibited.
Okay.
Nobody's inhibited in just a minute.
No, thank goodness they haven't got any buttons.
The future's going to be called the mouth.
No. Hurry up, say something.
I had a little malfeasance in my throat and I was clearing it. Clement, the subject is what makes me fall about laughing? And there are 60 seconds starting now.
One hardly needs 60 seconds to describe what makes me falling about laughing, because in a word...
Barry Cryer, chum.
What makes me falling about laughing?
Yes. You're going to go on grammar again, are you?
Grammar again.
A slender thread.
It also wasn't the subject on the card, so I think you've got a very good point there, Barry. And there are 53 seconds on what makes me fall about laughing starting now.
Tommy Cooper makes me fall about laughing with his fez, his feet, his face, his...
Kenneth Williams.
Three hisses,
yes.
Quite right. Yes. Quite
and
right.
So, Kenneth, you have the subject with 46 seconds left. What makes me fall about laughing starting now?
It is unquestionably Frankie Howard. I remember him talking about going down to Chequers. And he said, I was trying to get in there to see Macmillan, you know, the lovely spread he's got there. Beautiful place. Goes with the job, of course. And he wouldn't come. I'm shouting through the letterbox, but he never appeared. And I thought it touched up. It was a wonderful picture.
Elaine Stritch, you've challenged.
I can't hear you. Or understand you, Kenneth. Yes. And I think it is a cheat. I meant to say something about Kenneth. He has a wonderful gimmick on this show.
Oh, yes.
Well, you see, he makes one word into a three-act play. And I think it's the greatest gimmick. And you can't challenge him on it, but that I just take... I don't mean to be unkind or anything, but I just couldn't
hear... Oh, don't worry. Don't be inhibited. Everybody is
excellent
in this show.
But I'll get used to it if I'm asked back.
But he did repeat the word there, which...
Oh, well, that has nothing to do with it.
It has everything to do with it.
You can't help her.
You can't help her. She's so noble, isn't she?
I know, it's a truthful...
No, he's all like... And I couldn't understand him, and I don't think that's fair.
But, Elaine, he did repeat the word there three times.
Well, yeah, of course, that we all know.
So, therefore, you have a correct challenge, and you get a point for that.
What are we talking about?
I'm going to tell you in a moment. You have 26 seconds to try and talk on the subject of what makes me fall about laughing starting now.
Well, I'm going to agree with Barry Cryer. I don't think I can ever remember in all the times that I've lived in America or in this country of ever laughing at a comedian like Tommy Cooper. One night I was sitting alone in my room at the hotel, and I was watching a television show, and I think one of the strangest things in the world is to laugh when you're all alone out loud. I think it really is an example of really thinking something is funny. So I'm watching Tommy Cooper, and he said, I was sitting in a dentist's office the other day, and he said, I was reading a magazine. And the dentist told... And the dentist told me that the secretary of the dentist, nobody's challenging me.
You're welcome.
I almost challenged myself. I said, I couldn't believe it.
People have been known to do that and get points for it, actually. But, Elaine, you kept going magnificently for about an hour and a half, and you fully deserve the point for...
Well, anyway, I've got to tell you what Tommy Cooper said.
Oh, yes.
He said, ha, ha, and all that business. He said, I was sitting in the dentist's office the other day. Ha, ha, ha. And then he said, I had to wait 2 hours. And then there was a long pause, and then he said, "Isn't that terrible about the Titanic?" I don't know. That takes a lot of explanation. But have you ever read the magazines in a dentist's office? They're old. But anyway, I know. Well, that's what makes me fall about laughing, as opposed to this show.
Yeah. Elaine, you get a point for speaking when the whistle should have been blown by Herr Messiter.
But I won.
You also get a point for sportiness.
Right.
For being such a great sport, which the audience show their appreciation. And you are now... You might be surprised to hear that you're now in the lead. Alongside Barry Cryer and Clement Freud. And Kenneth Williams isn't far behind, which is a dangerous position for him to be. Oh, Elaine, it's your turn to begin.
And it's my turn to begin. Now I'm going to get boring. I can feel it.
Elaine, the subject is keeping my figure. And you have 60 seconds starting now.
I think keeping your figure is very important, both...
Clement Freud's challenge.
It's keeping my figure.
It doesn't matter. She can still say keeping your figure and go on the subject. She doesn't have to say keeping my figure. Start off with the words on the card.
Deviation of the subject.
You cad.
You can't be so gender's longer left.
We were very...
I got two laughs and you're mad at me.
You got more than two, Elaine. And you got another point for an incorrect challenge. And it's so mean, you've only been going for 2 seconds. You have 58 seconds to continue on keeping my figure starting now.
Is, I think, the most important thing in the world. Not only for a man, I mean a woman like myself, but for men. When I was growing up, I think it was one of the most important things in the world to me to be thin. I was almost to the point of anorexia because I wanted to be an actress, and I thought that all actresses had to be very, very thin, because someone told me once that when you went on the screen, you put on 10 pounds automatically, whether you weighed more than that or whether you didn't. And so when I... Don't do this to me again, because I'm telling you... If I don't play one shot at this guy, I don't want to deviate either. I want to stay right on the subject. And when I really found out the absolute causes for putting on weight, they really began to bore me as I got older, because I used to be a very extreme human being in everything that I did. When I liked something, I would eat too much of it. When I liked something to drink, I would eat... Oh, I'm repeating myself all over the place. But it's a terribly interesting point, and I don't care.
Well, Ian Messer did blow the whistle then at the end of 60 seconds. It's an amazing long time to talk, isn't it?
When you're... It is, but not really, be honest with me. I repeated myself, didn't I?
You did, yes.
Just... No, I would complain that you're not decipherable. You can't be heard properly. You've got to be like me. You speak very plainly, you see, and enunciate. You've got to enunciate. That's what you've got to remember.
Kenneth.
Tell him.
Don't want to go home and then have this show broadcast and then say, how was I? And somebody would say, well, they were very nice to you. I mean, that really isn't going to cut well with me, so I want to be treated like the rest of the gang. Right.
Actually, I can tell you something, Elaine. They've actually treated you rather toughly, because that's a mean thing to do, what they've done.
Right.
And they only do that to people that they not only love, but people they know they're good at the game.
Yeah.
And
you did it to Barbara Castle.
Well, all the time I thought it was because I was attractive, Nicholas. And I'm going to keep that thought and go home with it. So the hell with all of you.
That actually goes without saying, Elaine. I didn't think
Nicholas.
I had to mention.
Look at him.
Okay, let's go. I want to challenge somebody. I won that point, too.
You won that point. Okay. But I want to say something in case you weren't aware of it. You can repeat the subject and the words on the card if you wish.
Oh, well, then maybe I did it well.
You did it very well, because you didn't repeat them either. Right. So, Elaine, at the end of that round, you have increased your lead. You're now well ahead of Barry Cryer and Clement Freud, and infinitely well ahead of Kenneth Williams. And, Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. Now, the subject Ian Mester's brought along for you now is Quetzalcoatl. We do talk on that subject for 60 seconds, starting now.
Quetzalcoatl is, of course, an Aztec deity, and the lovely thing about it is that the modern Quetzal takes its name from it because of this lovely plumage. tune?
Clement Freud has chanted.
Two Lovelies.
Yes, I'm afraid so. So, Clement, you have a point at the subject, and you have Quetzalcoatl starting now.
Quetzalcoatl is not a subject which I would have chosen given a totally free choice. It is one of the few words...
Kenneth Williams has chanted.
The subject is Quetzalcoatl, not what he'd chosen for a subject.
Kenneth, but he was establishing...
No, we don't want a load of rubbish like that. Come on, play the game properly.
I'm doing my best. That's what he was talking about.
He said
he wouldn't have chosen that subject, and that is a subject...
Well, it's the subject you're supposed to discuss, you great fool. I've come all the way from Great Portland Street. I'm made a fool of.
Anybody got volume control?
Yes, they have said that to me. Yes, you're clever.
Clement, you continue for 43 seconds on Quetzalcoatl, starting now.
Like Iquique and Albuquerque in New Mexico, it is a word that only has the opening letter occurring once, whereas in the other two, as you will have noticed, the 19th letter of the alphabet happens on more frequent occasions. If you go to Brazil...
Yes.
Hesitation,
he came to a full stop, yes.
I wanted to...
Well, he suddenly realized when he said Brazil instead of Mexico. So you have the subject back of Quetzalcoatl. 21 seconds, starting now.
Well, of course, it was the great ornithologist Ludwig Koch who... to see the Quetzal in all its great exotic splendor. And they said, you have to sit for 7 hours in the rainforest. And he said, I'm not going to get wet for a load of leaves.
Clement Freud challenged you there.
Oh, yeah.
It was a repetition.
Yes. Of what?
Ha. 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 Ha.
Ha. Ha. Oh, God.
Oh, dear me. Clement, you have a correct challenge in 2.5 seconds on Quetzalcoatl, starting now.
One of the great problems about tourists in Mexico looking...
Well, at the end of that round, Clement Freud got a number of points, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's now gone 1 point ahead of the Lone Strip. Nick, the laughter is because of the byplay that's going on between Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud at the moment. And
I
Barry...
wasn't any of the kind. I've blown a kiss to the producer.
Well, I think you should keep your private life off the show. Barry, you want to say something?
Next time, see?
I just wondered if there are any points to spotting that Ludwig Koch was mentioned 2 weeks running.
Yes, but you see, the thing is, this audience weren't here.
That's why I'm telling them.
It was many weeks ago when Ludwig Koch came
into... I think this audience should be told that Ludwig Koch has been...
I should explain to this audience then that Kenneth Williams, in another programme which went out many weeks ago, mentioned about Ludwig Koch sitting in the rain jungle... And Ian Messiter's blown his police whistle and arrested me, so we'll get on with the show. Where are we? It's Barry Cryer's turn to begin. The subject is dice. Barry, will you tell us something about that in the game? 60 seconds, starting now.
Dice, of course, is a plural word, die, the singular, the great game of chance, known in the occasionally United States of America as craps, casting the die...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Hesitation.
No, I don't think so. He did repeat the word die, but you didn't spot that one. So there are 44 seconds for Barry to continue with dice, starting now.
Casting the die has nothing to do...
Clement Freud challenged.
A repetition of die.
Yes, the third
time. I would agree there. Yes. I would agree there.
So, Clement, you have the subject. 42 seconds. Dice, starting now.
Dice is the airport serving Aberdeen, and as such, one of the great growth areas of Scotland. If you get to Dice, it's only 9 miles into the granite city, which now bounds...
Kenneth Williams, the
chap. Cities. He said the city of Aberdeen and then he said city of Gish.
That's right, he did, Kenneth, and you've listened well, and 29 seconds are left for you to take over the subject of dice, starting now.
I say, this dice ain't nice, said a very fat lady at a party to which I was invited. They were throwing it for this game, which was called, as I remember... No, now it fails me, but I do...
It failed him. And you can't throw a dice.
Well, he was deviating, wasn't he?
Rubbish, rubbish.
You can't throw a dice.
At this party where this woman said, this dice ain't nice. That's how I always remembered it. And it was a game, and I was going on to say about the, how they played the game and all the rest of it. Oh, no, there was no deviation.
I think there was, so...
Positively glowing, and the audience all agog with interest.
Well, Barry, in spite of the gog...
Very titular, that's why they keep falling forward, you see.
Barry, I agree with your challenge. You have the subject. There are 11 seconds on dice, starting now.
One remembers Sky Masterson in Guys and...
Kenneth Williams, a chance.
Does one remember Sky Masterson? I don't remember Sky Masterson at all. Quite as far as I'm concerned, he needn't bother to exist.
I said one remembers. Are you one?
Well, one is two. Elaine should be laughing. That's rude.
Elaine, what did you want to say?
Nothing. I just got nervous.
Barry, I agree with your challenge.
You use one in the sense of I, that's
yes.
all.
You have 7 seconds on dice, starting now.
Singing luck be a lady tonight, accompanied by the chorus, the stage swirling with figures, colours, and the wonderful...
Well, it's turning out to be a close and interesting contest. Kenneth Williams is trailing a little behind Elaine Stritch, who's 1 point behind Barry Krah, has now leaped forward to be only 1 point behind our leader, who is still Clement Freud, and he begins the next round. The subject is the most important thing in my life. Will you tell us something about that, Clement, in the game, starting now?
This is really very boring, because the most important thing in my life is my family, and nobody wants to hear about my family. I could say my
Elaine
family
Stritch
several times.
I do.
Repetition of family. Well done, Elaine.
Yes.
Very good. And you have 53 seconds on the most important thing in my life, starting now.
I think the most important thing in my life is the fact that I am sitting here and doing this show and...
Clement Freud is charged.
Hogwash.
Well, I hadn't made my point yet.
So what is your challenge?
Let her continue.
Well, he challenged me like I challenged him, because I don't think his family is boring, and he doesn't think that this is the most important thing that's happened,
right.
But he didn't let me finish my point.
No, you had he could have had you for hesitation, but he didn't. So get a point for an incorrect challenge.
Okay.
Because you weren't deviating, and there are 45 seconds on the most important thing in my life, Elaine, starting now.
Because I just can't begin to tell you how many things are wrong in my life, but I also must say in a great hurry that there are things in my life that I'm so thankful for, and the most important thing in my life, which I understand I can repeat over and... So I'm going to repeat it again. The most important thing in my life is that I'm sitting here doing this show, and I am healthy and feel marvelous. That is what I think we all should think about over and over and over when all...
Clement Freud challenge.
I want to feel like a contestant. Repetition.
You're contesting over?
Repetition.
And over, and over.
Over.
I know. Well, go on. Tell us about your family.
Clement, you've never played this game like hers.
Well, I'm very glad you asked. Now, to begin with, there's my wife, whose name is Jill, who's an actress, and we have 5 children called Nicola, Ashley, Dominic, Emma, and Matthew, 2 grandchildren called Tom and Jack, a budgerigar, a hedgehog.
correct when he said nobody wanted to hear about his family because nobody buzzed him when he stopped. Actually, the 60 seconds was up just as he did pause, so he does get a point for speaking as the whistle went. And I have to tell you that, unfortunately, we've come to the end of this hilarious show. So, are you sad about that? You just stay all night. Well, it's been great fun, hasn't it? And it's been lovely having such an unusual and original performer as Elaine Stritch, because her contribution was...
Thank you, Nicholas. Thank you. Thank you.
No, your contribution has been... Yeah. Elaine, you've challenged. What was your challenge?
I repeated myself.
Let me give you the final score. Kenneth Williams, who sometimes wins and tries very hard to win, but always gives great value, unfortunately finished in fourth place.
I've lost my title.
Barry Cryer, who was with us a number of weeks ago and got a lot of practice from that, almost won, but he did finish up 1 point behind Elaine Stritch, who was in second place, not having played the game before, but she was 2 points behind this week's winner, who is Clement Freud.
Yay!
Well, we do hope you've enjoyed listening to this programme as much as our audience appear to have enjoyed in the studio, and certainly as much as we've enjoyed playing it. And we hope that you'll want to tune in again at the same time next week. We'll take to the air, we'll play Just a Minute, and who knows what will happen. Tune in, find out. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkins.